Muftisab, my dad passed away on the 8th of November 2024 after Asar. When would my mother's Iddah finish?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever the husband passes away, so what will be the iddat of the wife? The answers, both are mentioned in the noble Quran. If that lady is not pregnant, then arba'ata ashurin wa ashara. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, and verse number 234. So easy reference, chapter 2, verse 2, 3, 4. So you count from time of death, whether you count an Islamic calendar or Gregorian calendar, the result is the same, 130 days, 130 days from time of death. And if the lady is pregnant and her husband passed away, then chapter 65, verse number 4, وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَنْ يَضَعَنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ, that when she gives birth to the baby, so that will be the expiry of the iddat, the waiting period, whether it's 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, 7 months, whatever the case might be, if the lady is pregnant. So that is the short answer for that question there.
Mufti Sahab, turning 7 times around a person, egg or salt or sugar to remove nazar, is this permissible?
You see, in Islam, we must remember certain things are sunnah. So now somebody, my son, my daughter is sick. So I tell them, come here, or I go to them, and I read Surah Fatiha 7 times and I blow on them. So that is sunnah mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu's hadith, and confirmed by the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, verse 83, any person is very ill, critically ill, and so forth and so on. So read the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu salam, chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, verse 83. Read abundantly, profusely. Anni massani yadurru. Ya Allah, this calamity has struck me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. Whilst you, Ya Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. So 100% authentic is Quran Sharif. Now you come with the lemon story or egg story or chili story and so forth and so on. And you must, you know, turn it around the person's face and head and not nose or what have you. So all that is not sunnah. But we will say, min babit tadawi, it is ilaj, it's treatment. So it is permissible as long as there's no haram action being done. For example, you are not taking the name of some idol or some deity and so forth. And so then it's kufr, obviously, blasphemy. So in normal circumstances, we will say it's permissible, but we will not say it's sunnah. Always draw this distinction, dichotomy. What is permissible and what is sunnah? Don't make khalat malat. Don't confuse the two and do not go and mix up and adulterate the two. That is what we do many a times nowadays, and that is not permissible.
My mom is 76 years old, very ill. She is not fasting. Must we take out money for every fast she must? Also, she has 80,000 rand in her bank saving. Do we take out zakat on her money?
Allah Jalla Wala grant mommy complete shifa. We don't know that how ill she is. If she is so ill, the prognosis of the doctors, the specialists, the medical fraternity is this, that mommy now has reached that stage in the life where she won't be able to fast at all, nor now, nor in the future. So she is marizud daim. She is chronically ill, perpetually ill, terminally ill. Call whatever you want to. then only you take out fidyah. Chapter 2, verse 184, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبِتُتِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ تَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. So the fidyah is 1,000 rand. Minimum 1,000 rand you must give to the poor Muslim people. But if mommy's condition is this, maybe she can't fast every day, but maybe every second, third, fourth day she can fast, or in after Ramadan, in the winter months, June, July, she can fast, then you can't pay fidyah. Qadha will be compulsory. So we must know when fidyah is compulsory, when that person, due to illness or due to old age, remember at no time at all, now or in the future, he or she can fast, then only fidyah is applicable, the compensation. And if the person can manage fasting every second, third, fourth, fifth day, or in the winter months, then qadha is compulsory. And fidyah, if you paid it, it will just be voluntary charity. So we need to understand that also properly. Thereafter, mommy got 80,000 rand, 100% you have to pay zakat on that. So she is in a census and all that. Don't just take money from her account and pay. You must inform her that, ummi, that you got so much money, 80,000. Then I'm just giving example now. And plus you got jewelry and so forth. You got bangles, you got the ring, you got locklets and what have you. So all that is 20,000. Just to make the calculation easy. So now total gold and cash all became 100,000. So now you have to pay zakat, 2,500 then. So 2.5% is the rate you have to pay for your zakat. So yes, you must pay it, but before payment, inform mommy and take permission from her.
Mufti Sahab, when the child is born in hospital, when they are discharged from the hospital, can I bring them to my house or not? Is this allowed in Islam?
I'm not sure what you mean to bring them to your house. It's your child, so you must remember you gave birth. If you are the biological mother, so it's the right thing that you do to your house where you're staying with your husband and so forth. If you mean that you want to take your children or your baby there to your mother's place for confinement and for all that after birth and so forth, so that also is permissible, but the proviso condition is the husband must give permission. You can't just tell the husband that you fly a kite and I'm not coming to you, I'm going there to my mother's house, she will take care of me. Watashahudin. Remember, Allah Jalla Wala spoke of husband-wife relationship and said there must be mutual consultation. So after giving birth, you go to your marital home. So that 100% is desirable. It is your child, husband-wife child. So now you bring up the child together and so forth and so on. And if you feel you want to go to your biological mother's house, so that also is fine. But it must be done watashahudin. Watashahudin, mutual consultation. Your husband must give permission. Chapter 2 and verse number 233. You know, just now I told you 234, just one verse before that, verse 233, and that is in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2. Second one is this, that when you're leaving the hospital, clinic, whatever, before you check in and you make the deal with them, tell them the placenta and everything else must be returned to you. You must not leave it there in the hospital. They burn it, they incinerate it. All that from an Islamic perspective is totally haram and not permissible. So everything to do is you, your part of your body, and you gave birth, so they must return everything to you. And then you tell your husband or your son or whoever, go to the graveyard or wherever and bury it there. That is our Islam, not this Western system that the only thing they will work is money. So somebody sent Trump, it's just a cartoon. So somebody sent Trump a letter, you know, from India and told Trump, you know, that yes, so many Tamils died, you don't understand, there in India and so forth. So Trump was wondering, what are the Tamil business now? He doesn't know where the hell is Lesotho. So he said, how many millions are there in a Tamilian? You see, how many millions are there in a Tamilian? He made his own word. Everything for him works with money, you see. So that's why Allah Ta'ala disgraces him. His whole America is falling apart, inshallah.
Mufti Sahab, it's the Mubarak month of Ramadan and the men don't go to the masjid. It hurts me, and I talk of how important Fajr and Tarawih Salah is. Please advise the men.
Remember, sister, this is a three-part question. Number one, the men who don't go to the masjid, but they go to their shop, they go to their job, and so forth. In the light of the Quran Sharif, they are munafiqeen and hypocrites. In the light of Quran Sharif, they go straight to Jahannam and the hellfire. That is what Quran says. You want the verses, sister? So write it down. Almighty Allah states, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهُ وَخَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. So the hypocrites are those that they think they can deceive Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So what are their signs? When they stand up for salat, so any for salat, قَامُوا كُسَالَى, they stand up lazily. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ, they just show their faces there to the people. They come in last, they go out first, like Jummah time. Every Friday, I'm in a different place with Allah's help. So last week, where was I? I was in Binoni, Mackenzie Park. This week, inshallah, inshallah, in Trichardt. So there in Pumalanga, next to Sakunda, King Ross, and then. So now you can see the people coming in when the khutbah is on, and so. So last in and first one out. So they are the munafiqeen and hypocrites. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They remember Almighty Allah very, very little. So chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 142, 143. You see? So Allah Ta'ala calls such people who don't read Salat with Jama'ah. Fajr, they don't go. Isha, they don't go. Tarawih, they don't go. So such people remember munafiqeen and hypocrites. And you know what is the meaning of hypocrites, that they have lip service to Islam, in the heart is to a devoid of true Iman. Then Almighty Allah speaks of those people that they say, no, we are reading Salat, but we are reading Salat at home. But they're not old, they're not sickly, they are not musafir, nothing of that sort. They can go to their shop, they can go to their job, they'll play tennis, they'll play cricket, they'll play soccer. For all that, they're 100%. But when it comes to deen, then this is their condition. Surah 19, Surah Maryam, and verse number 59. You see, you, my father, my brother, my mother, my elderly, Masi, Kala, and auntie, always make dua. Ya Allah, grant us khalaf, khalaf, with a fatha on the lam, a zabar on the lam. Grant us children and successors that are pious people. And one word is khalf, with a sukoon, a jazm on the lam. It means unworthy people. Father, mother were reading tahajjud, five daily salat, everything. But now the children, grandchildren, they left behind. Chapter 19, verse 59. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. So they left behind them خَلْفٌ, unworthy successors. People who are manqabla, that's Afrikaans. So la parwa, Urdu. They didn't bother much about salat and so. So what they did, adha'u salat. They squandered their salat. They just make jamaat at home, read salat at home. وَتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ. They follow their base desires. So now we got the Fajr, no, I won't go. I got Isha Tarawih, no, I won't go. I'll just sit at home so I can watch the soccer match, cricket match, watch the movie, watch this, and فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. They will meet Jahannam, and the worst portion of Jahannam, they'll be dispatched to. Allah protect us all. Chapter 19, verse 59. So in the light of Quran, although you are reading your Salat for the men, but you're reading at home, on your own time and so forth, that either you're a munafiq and hypocrite, or either you'll end up in Jahannam. So yes, you are very old, you are sickly, you musafir, is different. But in Ramadan, we don't even read Salat in the masjid. Therefore, I'm dead against those people who make their own Tarawih in the garages, in the halls, and outbuildings. I tell them, go read Isha in the masjid, and then come back and read. What insaf and justice is this? 11 months of the year you read Isha in the masjid. Ramadan Mubarak came, Sayyidu Shuhur, the best month, and then you didn't go read Isha in the masjid. You go and read in the garage, in the hall, in somebody's house, and so forth. So yet mahrumi here. We are depriving ourselves, you must remember that. So every day I go here to the Khanka, I read Isha Salat there, read Sunnat Nafil, and then I come back, check here what's going on the radio. Then 9 o'clock only our Taraweeh starts, you see. So that is how you should be doing it. If you are performing Taraweeh on your own with your wife, your children, and so forth and so on.
Okay, sir, is it allowed to fast with Janabat, like after intimacy?
Remember, the law is this: al janabatu la tunafis sawm. Husband, wife at night, you see, they got a little bit of hot, you see that. So last night, you see, iftar time, so the husband had dates, then nice halim and nice meal. Then after Taraweeh, also the wife prepared some nice goodies for him and some nice snacks for him. So then late at night, he got hot, like you see. So nothing wrong, it's 100% ibadat also. So husband and wife fulfill one another's conjugal relationship. Then in the morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, a quickie, you see. So husband and wife, you must remember, they fulfill one another's conjugal relationship. So now when Sehri time ended, so now by you, I'm just giving example now. You know, you're Durban, you got own time. This calendar shows this calendar. So I'm just giving my own time, you understand? Say 4:25, example, you understood? So, or 4:30, whatever it is, I'm just giving example. So when the Suhoor time ended, you were in the state of Janabat. That is, you are in need of a first ghusl and a mandatory bath, husband and wife. You see, both of you or one of you. So your fast is valid and not 100% valid. So now you will take your ghusl after the fasting time starts, after Fajr time starts, and make sure you read your Fajr Salat on time. You can't say you're going to take the ghusl, remember, after sunrise and that, then you are guilty of a major crime. It means you didn't perform your Fajr Salat on time, but your fast will be valid. So that is one issue. Second issue for the Hanafis, now you have to gargle your mouth, you have to insert water in your nose and so forth. So do all that Sehri time, Suhoor time, and then you take your compulsory ghusl, then no problem. You didn't do so, so now 4 o'clock, 4:30, the time finishes. For example, I'm giving, so now 5 o'clock, 4 to 5, you want to take a bath, and you must take a bath, ghusl. So then you have to gargle your mouth, insert water in the nostrils, keep your face, keep your head facing down. Don't raise your face and your head. Just look down and you gargle your mouth, insert water in the nose. Then everything is lungile and everything is good, inshallah. So yes, husband, wife, you can make no problem. Every night also if you want, no problem with that. So the wife, you're making nice halim and nice dates and all that. So the husband is going in overdrive in Ramadan, mashallah. Very good Islamically, there's no problem with that.
Isab, is it permissible for a husband to leave his wife and children and go for Umrah during Ramadan without her permission?
Not permissible. You want to go and perform one Nafil Ibadat and one most-to-most Sunnah Ibadat, and in the process you forget your wife, you abandon your children, and just so. So that is jahalat and ignorance. It's not permissible that. And yesterday I sent it out. If it wasn't yesterday, yesterday was Monday. Yeah, yesterday. So Hazrat Mawlana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib Hafidhullah. So you must remember, and I see Mufti Ibrahim Saleh's name is also there, West Bengal Beach. So, and Mufti Abdul Sattar's name of Jalalabad is there. So remember, when I send out that articles like this, it means we are agreeing with Mawlana. 90%. That today, 90%, 80% of people who go for Umrah or they go for Ramadan, we can't say 100, we will say 80, 90%. It's just a holiday. So you must remember, it's just a shopping spree. So you know how many people read Jummah Salat. You must remember on Friday, this past Friday. Do you know how many? 3 million people. And the 3 kilometers out of the Haram, the crowd was there. So it is already 3 million people. But you ask the 3 million people, how many of you, when you at home, you are reading your 5 daily salat and so forth. So you see, that is the problem today. So my advice will be that you're spending so much money, first go to Aqsa, And thereafter, you go to Makkah, Medina. If you don't have that amount of funds and money, but you've been to Makkah, Medina before Umrah Hajj, then just go to Aqsa. Now is a critical time we have to show our solidarity with the people of Aqsa, America and Israel and their allies and so forth. They want to starve the Palestinian people. They want, they must leave from there. And what does Ummah does? Does Ummah abandons them and neglects them and goes for holiday here and there and bust up 500,000, 250,000, 1,000,000 rand. So all that. So how can that ever be justified? So we should think properly. What you did, brother, is definitely not permissible. You get greater thawab looking after your wife and children than just running away for Umrah. Because the boys are going, your clique is going, so you say, let me go with my clique. Not permissible, all that.
Isab, a listener sent this statement to add to your previous comments about the afterbirth. Mufti Saab, they are selling the placenta, it's being used for cosmetic surgery. Must get an affidavit to say you need it for religious reasons, Bariya.
Very good, must be a doctor or a surgeon or something. Therefore, I love the Q&A that when you give me these things here, you see, so well done to the doctor or the nurse or whoever sent it there. Jazakumullahu khairan, barakallahu fiqh. You heard my mothers and sisters. You must sign an affidavit and you must tell them you want everything back, your placenta and whatever else is there for religious reasons. You see that? So it's very important. We learn something, you see, for your mother's sisters, that they can't be funny and say, no, you didn't sign an affidavit, hence we will not give it to you. So all of you mother's sisters, whether you are in Kapstadt or Cape Town, or you're in Hammanskraal or in Hong Kong, so remember that you must sign a placenta, you must sign an affidavit that the placenta must be returned to you for religious purposes, religious reasons. Well done. Jazakallahu khairan, barakallahu fiq.
So I need to know, do I need to pay zakat on the bank account for a child according to the Hanafi mazhab?
Remember that this also is a two-part question. Many a time our people, especially the Indians, you know, because we know how to avoid and evade and all these things there. So if that money, 20,000, 50,000, 100,000, whatever it is, so is there on the minor, on your son, on your daughter's name, and so forth, does that money really belong to him or her? Or are you using that as a strategy so that you don't have to pay so much taxes? Meaning, the money belongs to you, the father or the mother. But you just left it there in your son's account, your daughter's account, who are 3, 4, 5, 7 years old, and just a strategy and so forth, so you don't have to pay tax. If the money belongs to the son, daughter, who is a minor, then the fatwa of the Hanafis is there is no zakat on that. And if the money is yours, but you're just using this as a strategy to avoid evade taxes, then zakat is compulsory upon you. Now let's go to the other side of the scenario. The hadith is in Tirmidhi Sharif. Allah man lahu waliya, Allah man waliya yatima. Whosoever has minor children, walahu malun, and that minor son, daughter, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, they have wealth, assets. فَلْيَتَّجِرْ بِهِ invest it. وَلَا تَتْرُكُ حَتَّى تَعْقُلَهُ صَدَقَ. Don't leave it till the zakat eats it up. So that is the dalil, evidence, which is clear in Tirmidhi Sharif. Therefore, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbalis, they say that zakat is compulsory in the wealth of the minor children. And if you look at dalil and evidence, this verdict is very strong of the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbalis. So I follow Hanafi school. I don't have children, but let's say we have children. So we will say that ihtiyatan is precaution, is better we pay the zakat, because you must remember the dalil and evidence is there. We won't say it's compulsory, but we will say min babil ihtiyat. From a precautionary point of view, it's very good to do so. You call that, that's another usul of fiqh and jurisprudence, al-khuruj and il-khilaf, so that you come out of the difference of opinion. So that's one issue. Second issue, the Hanafis use the general al-Hadith, and that is in Abu Dawood, who rufi al-Qalamu an thalas, the pen is removed from three people, an Isabi, from the minors and children, Hatta Yahtalim, till they get baligh and mature. Wa anil majnoon, people who are made insane, Allah forbid, Hatta Yufiq, till they recover and become sane. Wa anil naim, Hatta Yastaqis, the fasting person, till he wakes up. He talks nonsense there while he's sleeping, he's dreaming, and so forth. So Allah will not take him to task for that, because he's not in control of what he's saying and so forth. So everyone got their dalail and evidence. So therefore, we should know the details of it as well.
Ishaab, does using contact lenses and contact lens fluid in the eye break the roza?
No, very good question. Using contact lenses, putting the contact lens fluid and whatever else in the eye, eye drops and so forth, surma and tamani. So all that your fast is valid, even if you get the taste in your mouth. So certain times people use some surma or certain things in the eye and you taste it also, the impact, but your fast is still valid, and on that there's consensus, ijma of all four schools, so your fast is totally valid. Similarly, you put medication in your ears and all that. So nowadays the fatwa is that, according to the Hanafis also, it will not break the fast, and your fast is valid. The Shafis, Malikis, Hanbalis, that was always the fatwa. So that is how we pass the fatwa. Today, your medical fraternity has proven there is no direct manfath and passage between the ear and the stomach and belly and abdomen, whatever you want to call. So therefore, the fatwa will be that if you insert medication in the ear also, your fast is valid. Taqwa is different, precaution is different. But fatwa verdict will be your fast is valid. Last question.
How many minutes after Subuh Sadiq can we read Fajr Salah? Does Fajr begin when Sehri ends?
Remember that once you are sure that Subah Sadiq has started, so that means your fast has started and your Fajr time has started, but you must be sure. Regarding your Azan and your Sunnahs and all that, you see that the problem nowadays is what? You have our Jamiat, you have our Jamaat, you have our Ulama. So they make the timetable. So some places they make the timetable, Sehri ends. But it is not the real time when Sehri ends. There's still precautionary time. So after that time, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, then Sehri ends. So they should write it there, that this is precautionary time. And if you go right till the ending time, then write there Sehri ends, final time. So people will know like that. If you just write Sehri ends, and that person there, now he just follows that, and now he just reads maybe the sunnahs of Fajr or something. So actually they'll be reading the Fajr Salat before the sunnahs, especially before the Fajr time has started and so forth. Another masla quickly, remember according to Hanafis only, the Adhan for Fajr must be given after Subah Sadiq starts. And according to Shafis, Malikis, Hanbalis, that Ramadan, out of Ramadan, you give the Adhan for Fajr 1 hour, 2 hours, half an hour before Fajr time enters, totally permissible. So sometimes our people make such a big noise, you understood, but because is based on Jahalat and all that, they don't know what is, you must remember, the majority schools that Shafi's, Maliki's, somebody say, if one day by mistake or likewise, whatever, you gave Azan before time, so it happens like that sometimes. So remember, the Azan is valid, there's no need to repeat it. Only Hanafis will say, you must repeat it. Barakallahu feek, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.